Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I'm running a little late today, but the show must go on, and we will get things started. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for blessing me and waking me up this morning, and I also want to thank you loyal listeners for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, where today is Tuesday, and on Tuesday is when we do the segment From the Pulpit to the Couch, where you basically will be receiving biblical teaching from a pastor and others, as well as gaining information from myself, Jeanette Abney, a licensed marriage and family therapist. So, because this is a powerful topic and a very interesting topic, I'm going to get started because I see one of the co-hosts is actually already on the air that's going to be joining me. So, let me log him on. Good morning. This is Jeanette Abney. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Jeanette. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. I'm doing great. I had to do an intake real quick for a SAP assessment, so I was kind of rushing there to get this done, and I tried to go to all the Facebook Live, and, you know, it is what it is. So, with today's topic is entitled The Power of God. Now, when it comes to understanding who God is, as well as understanding his power, many believers, as well as non-believers, are often confused. However, we first have to understand who God is. It is said that God is a power that created the heavens and the earth. He created day, night, he parted the Red Sea. Even the sun and the moon have to stand still to his command. And that is just to name a few. God is so powerful that he had to send a messenger. So, and not only did he send a messenger, he also is so powerful and so awesome. Sometimes when things are happening or things are going on, we have to question, Lord, where is that man? Who is that man? So, I want to thank you for joining us. Now, tell the listeners who you are, and then let's get started with the show.
Good morning.
Blackwell.
I am Pastor Blackwell. Good morning. I am Dr. Delano Blackwell, formerly of the Mount Salem Bible Church. I'm here just to share this morning my persuasion on the power of God. The power of God is such a powerful entity. A lot of us don't understand that God does have power, whether or not we know it, that we possess God's power inside of us, that he placed in us a long time ago from birth. That when he reached down into man, he blew in the man to receive the power of God. God has always shown his power to man, toward man, and about man. If you notice all throughout the Bible, there are miracles, there are signs and wonders that only God could have done. I don't believe in anything else. I believe in the Bible in its entirety. I don't want to take none out, put none in. I believe God is the only entity. We talk about a higher power. There is no higher power than God. I accept the fact and willing to tell people all the time, in order to know God, you got to understand God to understand his will, his way. And when you understand his will and his way, it's because you've been reading the Bible, you understand his word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order to know God, you've got to know his word. And if you don't know, if you know God's power, you got to know his word to understand who that was, how that happened, and what it happened for. A lot of times we greatly are fumbling around and mistaking in life, and we know God has power, and then we got a question, why did God do this? Why didn't God do that? And those are questions we can't answer. I told Jeanette today, I told Jeanette earlier today that I was not getting into a lot of the power of the Holy Spirit because that is so limited. Because a lot of us want to believe that you can't do anything without being slain in the spirit, speaking in tongues, and all of those things. I want to say this clearly and concisely. If you look throughout the Bible, things happen before that happened. And God did use me in a powerful way. He's always put his power in there, but it was only to be used when he wanted to do it. So I'm making my clarification today that I only want to talk about God's will, God's way, and God's word, because I believe the power of God lies in his word. If you want to know God's power, then you got to pick up his word to identify the power of God. Thank you, Jeanette.
You're welcome. You know, it's crazy because I'm sitting here getting text messages and all of that right now, and I'm like, people know I'll be live on the radio at this time of the morning. It's like that's exactly when they want to call me. But, Pastor, I want to go into something. We talk about his power. And a lot of times individuals will minimize or they will, you know, they want it to be convenient for him, for them, when they're actually going through it, especially during troubled times when we talk about the power. And what was amazing was the guy that that came into my office, he had back problems. And I remember when I was going through some back problems, and I was sharing with the guy that a man came into my office and said to me, can I pray for you? And I said, yes. And when that man touched my back, it was like the pain went away. I had no surgeries, no nothing. And it was interesting because he was like, well, can you touch my back? And I said, no, it wasn't me. I said, that man had the power, and the power was placed on him, because sometimes people don't believe that sometimes God works through people. And it's something that we shouldn't play with. We really shouldn't. Because we see things sometimes, and we talk about miracles and blessings. And today's topic, Blackwell, because you started off when we ended, well, not started off, but yesterday, last week we ended the show, you were talking about the power of God, which is why I wanted to piggyback off of that, because I wanted the listeners to gain a better understanding of that power, gain information in regards to how to access that power, and understand how amazing and awesome God is.
All right. You know, God is very amazing. His powers are just amazing and awesome because he can do it. And There's a story in the Bible where, if you ever heard about Jonah, who goes into the belly of a big fish. We want to call it a whale. The Bible says it's a fish. And he's able to sleep inside the whale and then pray inside the fish. And God prepared it just for him. And I was sitting back thinking about that. If God has the power to do that, we need to wake up. He has the power. He has the power to tell the winds and the sea to stop. He knows when to tell the daffodils to grow. He knows when to tell your trouble and your pain and your problems. But there's something that we always got to pay attention to. It goes back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, unto every man there is a season. And sometimes we forget that God will allow us to go through seasons. Sometimes I say, well, you know, I'm going through this. I don't know why the Lord let me go through it, because it's your time. You ain't had a drought of power. It's just your time to go through a season. Some people say, well, they're going through it. They're going through it because they ain't got power in their life, and God just turned his back on it. That ain't it. Every man goes through something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to clarify, because all of us have going to have a season, whether we like
mm-hmm.
it or not. I was sitting back
mm-hmm.
thinking about your statement you made to me about the concern, and I want to thank everybody who spoke to you about being concerned about me.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I've been looking around. I look around, and you don't, you know, most of my our friends are going through a period, a season of sickness and changes
mm-hmm.
in our life where we can't do what we used to do. We can't even think about doing what we used to do. But what we were relying on, we're relying on the power of God to give us another day of strength. And that's what happens in our life. We get power. God gives us another day to make it through. I mean, we don't care what shape we in. As long as we can get up and go, pain racking in our body, pain
mm-hmm.
in our hands and in our back and in our legs, children acting crazy, but we try to make it and do it another day. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
God answers our prayer. He sends down another day of strength. And that's power.
It is.
That's
I'm just
power.
I'm laughing, Blackwell, because I was sitting up here, even at the picnic and looking at, you know, the people we went to school with and the changes that many of them have went through and just, oh, my God. I got up this morning, sitting up here talking about I'm losing weight, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Heck, I couldn't even put my clothes on this morning. I couldn't even zip my clothes up. I had to go and bang on my godmother's door. He was like, I thought you lost some weight. He hit me all in the back of my head. Go back. I'm going forward, back. I was like, you know what? Forget this. And it was like three outfits I put on. I couldn't fit nothing. I was so mad. So, you know, and these things happen. And sometimes I got to think about it. What if I didn't have anybody there to help me? Check what I'm laughing. That ain't funny. What if I didn't have nobody to help me? I would have been stuck. Walking out here looking like a fool trying to put some clothes on. But, and I'm looking at the Facebook postings right now. And there's one guy, I really hope he calls in, because I recall him trying to get me to join his page, which was atheists. They were atheists. And I just saw that he liked the post in regards to the power of God. So I just sent him a message telling him to call in if he can. And I know that this man was going through something. And with him going through something, sometimes people get mad at God and they doubt his power because they feel like God isn't coming, and when they want him to come, like they say, he may not come when you want him to, but he is always on time. So I really hope this man calls in so we can, you know, talk to him and we can pour into his life, because you see, he's powerful and he's awesome. So I'm looking at some of the messages that people are putting, you know, yes, he is powerful. And to some of the comments that I'm looking at. But Pastor Blackwell, when we're talking about this, and I know you said you didn't want to go into the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is his agent, but just looking at some of the scriptures and trying to access that power, tell the individual, first of all, who God is. Because like I said, I think, like you said, we have to start there, meaning who is he?
Well, you often hear so many different things. God is a spirit. God is a being. God is this. God is that. God is a power who sits on the throne of God. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Nissi. Those are just parts of his name. That's not his whole name. Jehovah
mm-hmm.
Shalom. And we look at him for who he is, God, the creator. Now let's talk. I did, and I told you I didn't want to get involved in it. But when you talk about God, you got to talk about him as the creator and
mm-hmm.
us as the creature. A lot of people don't want to accept the fact that God is the creator.
Mm-hmm.
They want to believe, they want to believe in the Big Bang Theory that bang, it just happened. But the Bible says God spoke everything into existence. Let me try
mm-hmm.
that again. And God spoke everything into existence. That means he's the creator of everything. And men and women don't want to accept him because, one, they don't know him.
Correct.
Two, they don't know that he is, they don't want to accept him as creator because you want to believe that your mom and daddy created. Lie.
Mm-hmm.
Lie. No. It had to be some God in there. And the reason why you have to tell people that, if that heart doesn't pump and that blood doesn't move and there ain't no oxygen coming into your body, then maybe ain't nothing going to happen. There's been a lot of stillborn babies in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? God is the creator. He gives life. He is the orchestrator of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is God who moves on us, Jeanette. So we have to say, who is God? He's the ruler of this world.
Mm-hmm.
He's the architect of the universe. He is the sovereign leader of this world. Now, when I say of this world, I mean of this universe. God sits high, and he looks low, but he answers our prayer. We have a God who listens to our calls and our cries. Read Psalms. You'll hear he's always in Psalms listening. He always wants to hear the cry of his people. We have a God. He listens. He hears. He laughs. He speaks. But he doesn't through his word.
Gotcha. And you know, Pastor, you said something that was really interesting when you said acknowledging, and also acknowledging another way is recognizing his power. And I have some information that I'm looking at, and it's in our dailybread.org. And they go into details to not only just recognizing his power, because part of it is trying to see it, and this morning when we were talking about Kevin Hart with the accident that he was in and getting out the car and making it home to go get some help. You know, and if you that hurt and if you that injured, you can't. Ain't no way. You'll be like, Lord, just take me down. I can't take this pain, you know, and fear. But his power is to protect and enable his people to do the impossible. And what I'm looking at in our dailybread.org, it talks about remember Daniel. And you spoke about Jonah in the belly of the fish. But remember with Daniel, the lion's den was not only a place where his weakness showed the power of God, but Daniel was not born with the ability to interpret dreams. But when the time came and the need arose, God displayed his power and given Daniel an ability that was not natural. And, you know, even talking about Peter walking on water with Jesus, against every law of nature we know. Peter walked on water for a period of time until his faith faltered. And then that was with Matthew 14:22-23, every one of the apostles of Christ was able to do miracles, which are supernatural events through the power of Christ in them. So a lot of times, Black, when we're talking about the power and we talk about miracles, do you think that we're looking more for the miracles, or is it that we struggle with believing the power?
Well, it's a little of both. Because now you got to remember, we're looking for miracles because we believe that we're still in the days of the New Testament and miracles still happen. But sometimes we look for miracles through man. So we want a man to lay his hands on us, pray for us, so a miracle can happen. I'm not saying it won't happen, but that's what we look for through the power of God. We look for those signs and wonders right now. We still look for a miracle. Me and you both pray every day that we have a miracle, whether or not we say it like that. But that's what we want. When we get down on our knees and pray and ask God for something, we forget, Lord, heal my body. Well, guess what? That's a miracle. We're asking him to perform a miracle on us. And it's not that he can't do it. It's not that he won't do it. We're asking him to demonstrate his power. So watch this. The average person who prays don't even know that they're constantly asking God on a daily basis to demonstrate his power. Daily. I'm asking God to demonstrate your power towards me. And they don't even know it. You know why? Because they don't understand or accept his power.
You know, it's funny you saying that, Blackwell, because I have a doctor's appointment on Friday. And my doctor had canceled my last appointment. And every time I go, you know, because remember, I was pronounced dead at birth. So everything that happens with me sometimes be a miracle. And when I went the last time, they took all that blood work. And every time they do all these blood tests, I'd be sitting back like, okay, now what you going to tell me? Okay, now. And then every time I go back, they'd be like, man, we can't find nothing. Or all your labs was okay. So if all my labs was okay, why you give me freaking 20 doggone different tests? You know? So it's just one of those things. But we have to get to the point where we start discovering God's power points. And if we're going to seek God's power in our lives, we first need to understand why he has promised to give us power and for what purpose. And that purpose, Blackwell, as we know, is to glorify God. And actually, it is God's will for every person who ever lived and for all of creation to glorify him. And a lot of times we just got to say thank you. Just thank you, Lord. Just thank you. You know, that I can get up and see another day or make it through the day or, you know, my health and my strength. Because, like I said, when I was looking at that man today with his back pain, I remember that pain. That pain was no freaking joke. I didn't have no surgery. I didn't take a whole bunch of people. I had no back pain either. You know, you asked me about my lupus a lot. When I went to the doctor one time, they told me, okay, we got to take that out of you because you're not showing no symptoms of lupus. You know, but hey, that ain't nothing but God. Because, like you
said,
a
lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening. What you can
say? No, I'm listening.
Well, because in every other aspect of God's will flow out of his great and divine purpose for him by all things that were created. So we just have to basically, like I said, we have to give honor where honor is due, and we have to acknowledge it. We have to also, you know, get to the point to, like I said, glorifying God. And you talked a lot, you talked about God's will and knowing his will and his way and his word.
Whoa.
All his word.
Whoa, you know, I tell people all the time, if you don't know his will, then how do you know the way to go?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know the way to go, then maybe you need to back up and start reading his word. This is my key. This scripture has been in my heart since I was a kid. And you know, and I hope I can pass this on to somebody to hear it. Psalms, and it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against thee. Let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got God's word in your heart, not only will you not err, but you will always walk in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got God's word in your heart, you always walk in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to worry about nothing. But the problem is that I've discovered we don't want God's word in our heart, but we won't take the time to read it. The average Christian,
mm-hmm.
just don't say it like I mean it. The average Christian don't even know God's word.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm wrong. God knows I know. But the average Christian only reads the Bible on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They only read the Bible on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. Don't none of them go to Bible study because Bible study is almost exempt now. Preach, Reverend. Bible study is almost exempt. Watch. I'm going to say something and I need to say this. We talk about the power of God. We are powerless people because we can't come and get God's word in our heart. There's no more Sunday school because they won't come. You got a membership of 200 and Sunday school only got 10, 15 people.
Mm-hmm.
Bible study only got 5 or 6 people. Not because of work only, but because they don't care about the word. It does
mm-hmm.
just like the Bible said in Revelation, that there's going to be a great falling away. It's here. It's now.
Mm-hmm.
It's present. We are falling away, and because we're falling away, we're pitiful and powerless.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again. We're pitiful and we're powerless. And we wonder why things happen like they happen, because we don't know nothing.
You know, you gave me another title, right, for next week.
We're
talking about powerless Christians. Okay, now I want to give the listeners, it talks about Bible verses about God's power. And this is just 15 great scriptures, just to name a few. Because when we look around and we see, you know, what God has done, and we always talk about what God has done for me, and we watch it, you know, we're watching a lot of Christian-based, Bible-based movies, you know, and talking about the faith of God and the beliefs, and, you know, and so the thing is, God is truly all-powerful, and the power of God is amazing, and it has always been a wonder for a lot of individuals, because they wonder, because when they look at the clouds, they look at the skies, and they are just amazed by God's power. But the Bible gives some great description and verses about God's great power. Now, I just want to name some of the few scriptures, and if anyone want to call in, please give us a call at 516-387-1914. We're supposed to have other callers join us, or people join us, and I've got text messages. They kind of got tied up, but we'll see how it goes. But in regards to some of the verses about God is all-powerful Bible verse scriptures, well, here's one. You talked about Psalms earlier, but this is a Psalms 62:11, and it says, "Once God has spoken, twice I've heard this, the power belongs to God." And, you know, we always say God is in control. Can you explain that scripture in regards to Psalms 62:11, meaning that when it says the power belongs to God?
Well, you see that scripture. It pretty much says what it says, that the power belongs to God. Men try to claim God's power and try to claim God's place, but the power belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
Man will try to achieve things and go about doing things, but baby, that's
mm-hmm.
all God.
Mm-hmm.
Some men don't understand that, but the power belongs to God. God gives power. You
mm-hmm.
don't believe me? Just keep watching. There's some people right now who think they got power. They sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again. They sleep. They ain't going to wake up no more.
Wow. And, you know, it's interesting, and I hope Tony do get a chance to call in, because one of the things he was talking to me about and I was sharing with you was Acts 7:48, and he was talking about how God is so powerful, he had to send a messenger, and he cannot dwell on the earth. And that Solomon built the temple, because a lot of times when we start talking about the power, we don't really understand it. And then another one that I found, and it talks about in Job 26:14, it says, "Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways, and how small they whisper, do we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" And that kind of ties into that, meaning how powerful he is, meaning that with the thunder of his power, who can understand? Who really can comprehend or hold on to all of this, Blackwell? Because even pastors sometimes struggle with that power, the power of God.
Well, no, we do pretty good with the power of God, because we know who called us. We know who sent us. We understand that it ain't nothing he can't do. We understand ain't nothing he won't do. But here's what you said something about the scripture before in Acts. What's the one in Acts you were talking about? Let me get into something where I don't want to go.
Okay.
God knew we were going to sin, so he had to prepare someone to come down and become a propitiation, a substitute, a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So while he was the messenger, he still was also the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. He also was the sacrifice.
Okay.
Jesus came as a messenger, Messiah, but he also was the precious Lamb of God. He was a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was a sacrifice in that, the Bible says he came into it all, and they received him not.
Okay.
Here is the problem. God's power was so present and so poignant in front of us to the place where we would receive the power of God. So he had to make it in a message, because when we had the power, we gave it away.
Wow. Okay, we got to call it. Let me knock on this person.
Yeah. All right.
Give me
Lord
one. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Ridiculous. How are you doing?
Ouch. I'm out.
Never is it.
No.
That would be now I'm gonna laugh. Are you ready, Tony?
Well,
you ready?
Yes. Hey, how's everyone doing? Great. We are well.
So we're talking about the power. I said your name, and then you just popped up. Okay. So I put it out there with the Act 7. So tell us what you wanted to talk about in regard to that.
Oh, it's just, the power of God. Delano hit on quite a few good points there. Actually, all the points were pretty good. And definitely that is something that we need while we're struggling in this world. What folks need to understand, we have our fight is against wicked spirit forces in heavenly places. And which we know that Satan, the devil, and the demons, and we need the power of God to help us fight them in this world until Christ come and overthrow them. And so that power is very well needed for us in our defense against him trying to get us to pervert ourselves with the things he wants us to do. And so that power that he gives us, most folks don't understand that power is also Holy Spirit. Power he gives us to fight the things in this world and to keep us alive, to keep us healthy on his word. And it was talking about Jesus. That's what Jesus did. We were talking about him praying intensively. He was praying for the power of God to get him through that. He was flesh and blood. He was always perfect, but he was using the power of God to help him get through what he about to go through. And he got through it. So that's what we mainly want to concentrate on, using it to get us through this world where Satan is constantly trying to take us under and take us out.
Amen.
I have a question since you took us there. And it talks about in Nehemiah 9:32, and it says, we are taught to rely on his great power to get us through trials such as job loss, sticky divorces, bankruptcies, hateful persecutions, and the illnesses or the loss of a loved one. But when we start learning to rely on the power of God, it is part of living the Christian life. But a lot of times, even as believers and non-believers, when we're going through those things, how can we stand on that word in regard to Nehemiah to help us with that? Because I hear what you're saying, Tony, but when we start, it's like sometimes you don't understand it until you're in it. It's like your parents telling you keep living. And my mother used to say that all the time. And I did not know what she meant by that until trouble came my way. So how do we
access
that power?
Right. Well, my thing is, Look, if I don't have to go through a surgery, and if you know, I notice something, let's talk about it. If I don't have to go through a root canal, well, thank God, because I don't want to have to deal with the pain. But if I have to go through the root canal, fillings or whatever it is, I don't like to see a dentist anyway. That's why I'm using this analogy. if I have to, then I have to. And we know in this world, we don't know when it's coming. Whatever's coming at us, it's going to come. And we have to be prepared. The Word of God prepares us. That's a good scripture, because that's what it does. It prepares us when it's going to come, and it's going to come. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is Satan, the devil, going to throw at it, because we are swimming in his world, he's going to throw it at us. And the power of God gets us through it. But like I said, if I don't have to go through a root canal, well, thank God. But I know that I'm going to have to see a dentist for something. And whatever it is, hopefully it's just for a checkup. But I'll tell you, at my age, it's probably not. And I'm going to hear either some drilling or some, there's going to be a needle going through my gums, and I don't want to feel any of that. But guess what? It's going to happen. So when it do, I'm prepared.
You know what? I don't know about being prepared for the dentist, because I'm laughing for a lot of different reasons, because I can't stand
it. But you get the analogy. That's how it is in Satan's world. You don't want to go through it, but we in his world, and it's coming. And the Bible prepares us for it when it does. And the Word and the power of God.
I just went to a picnic on Saturday. And at our age, we got people with so many messed up teeth. I was looking at people's mouths like, ooh, you need to go. I was like, man, I can't stand this, but I don't want to look like that. I was like, it's a lot of people getting this. I was like, you get old and your teeth start just falling out, splitting, separating. You ain't never need braces, but you hear you almost 99 years old. They talk about you need some braces. What the heck? So, okay. So, Blackwell, I hear you back there laughing, Blackwell. What you laughing about?
No, you know, it's the truth, what you're saying.
You know, I love what Tony said. He right, he hit the nail right on the head. Because you know what? Nehemiah also, in that text, it also orchestrates that when you go into that situation, you don't go in alone.
Correct.
And that's
right.
The problem with people. I don't want to tackle the Holy Spirit, because it's so much. But we forget that this tabernacle, that this body is the tabernacle of God, and God has the Holy Spirit in us as the comforter to walk with us through every phase of life. Every phase of life. Not only are we told that he's with us and he's in us, but we also told that when we start going through things, that we ought to pray. He said, man ought to pray without ceasing. Every time Jesus preached, you always heard him, the next day, I'm going away. And next day, man, y'all go on, I'll meet you on the other side. Jesus, where you been? And you late, service about to start. Well, I was. You know, Jesus always comes drifting in late. Yes, because he just came back from praying.
And so, you know what, Blackwell, and it talks about how prayer is a vital part of relying on the power of God. Because as we pray, that will be done. And Jesus said, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Because for everyone who asks, receives, and for he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. And that's a big part of that, too, when you talk about the power. Because if you didn't believe or that God had power, why you go pray for it then? You ain't gonna.
Now, watch this.
You know,
I'm glad you read that, because a lot of people only read the beginning part, seeking, you should find, knocking, you know. And the door shall be open, ask that it shall be given. And they quit right there. That's how you end up to say what I'm going to say, what I got to say. That's how you get that name in the claiming crowd. And they don't read the following verses. They don't read, the following verses where it outlines, well, you can only act if you stay in the format of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean, Jeanette. The Word of God, not only is it sharper than a two-edged sword, but you got to understand that that Word has so much power.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a symbol. Oh, man. It is just a symbol of what God's power is. It just shows us a snapshot. Because when you start praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of you, you see God's Word a whole different way.
Okay. All right, y'all. We got a caller calling in, so let me see what this caller wants to say and add to the show. Hi, this is Jeanette, number ending in 03. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. And what do you want to add to the show?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just wondering how anybody today could be both a Christian and a Democrat at the same time, considering what the Democrats have been promoting now recently.
How they can be a Christian and a Democrat at the same time? When you start adding politics?
Yeah, because
okay.
I find it, I don't know how anyone, a Christian, could support the Democrat Party considering what they're advocating for now.
You know, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Democrat. Hold on, Jeanette. I'm a Democrat, and I know you're going to get off our show. We're talking about the power of God, and I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. We ain't talking about a Democrat or a Republican, but let me help you with something real quickly. Did you want to ask us about the power of God?
Well, that is connected to when it comes to being a Christian. This is what Romans chapter 1 tells us. It says in Romans chapter 1, when it speaks about homosexuality, it speaks to not only those who practice it, but those who also support it and accept it are equally condemnable in God's eyes.
Now, let me ask you a question since you said it like that. You're going in pretty hard. But let me ask you a question. The Bible tells us that we all got to get along, but now here's what it is. I don't have to accept what you do at home in the dark, because the judgment day is not for me. That is for God. God judges them. The Bible says that he even turns them over to a reprobated mind. Once they get into reprobation, then they fall out of the will of God and out of the will. Once they're out of the will of man and God, God deals with them on his level. My job is just love them as friends. Now, as far as being a Democrat, guess what? I don't want to be a Republican. Now, you're going to make me curse. I wouldn't want to be a Republican if you came. Racist.
Well, if you compare the two, what are we looking
at? No.
Hold it.
We're not going to get off this topic. The topic is the power of God. I'm going to hold you to that. But I'm going to tell you
that. That is part of the power of God, because before I was a Christian, I was an atheist, and I was a hardcore Democrat. I was a far-left Democrat. When I got born again, God pulled me out of that, and I became conservative, because that whole ideology is a completely antithetical to what God stands for.
You can't be a Republican right now, even with the president we got in office, because God wouldn't even stand for that. I would agree with that.
I can agree with that. But I'm talking about policy here. When I'm saying that the Democrats are supporting abortion all the way until the ninth month, and the Democrats are fully supportive of the LGBT movement, and they're the ones promoting it, and they're the ones pushing all this gender confusion and all this ungodliness we see, there's no way
a true Christian
can support that.
I have a question for you, caller. Do you have children?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I have two young children.
Two young children. You have male or female? Or both?
Both. One boy and one girl.
Okay. If one of your children came to you and said, you know, I've decided that I want to marry the same sex, are you going to disown your child?
I'm not going to disown them, but I'm not going to be in agreement with that. I'm gonna rebuke them the way the scripture says. Because something is right or wrong. It's not situational ethics. That's not how the morality or God works. If my child commits a sin, now I have to accept the sin because my family members are doing it? That doesn't work that way.
What I'm, No, I'm not saying it that way. What I'm saying is because we have to teach love, not hate. And even as a therapist, and if a person comes to me and they're dealing with gender identity or sexuality issues or things of that nature, I'm not going to give – I can't put them in heaven, send them to heaven or hell. But I have to address the underlying issues of the way they're thinking and why they're thinking that way. And even when we're talking about our faith, our belief, and being a Christian versus politics is totally different things. Because there's a lot of things that that's political that we may not agree with, but sometimes we may not understand it. So we have to get to the root before we can even address the truth of what's actually going
right.
on.
Right.
And I
asked and that's
that
why the
question,
Bible's important. So what does the Apostle Paul say about in amongst Christians, if a Christian is engaging in some type of sinful activity, the Apostle Paul said, rebuke them sharply in the presence of many so that the rest may fear. Okay? So what we're seeing right now is we're seeing this weakening of Christianity because, number one, people don't know what the Scripture says, and they think that the Bible somehow says this whole lay down and just let whatever happen. That's completely not
That's
true.
That's not it.
The Bible's clear
That's
that it says
it.
A fool despises correction, but a wise man loves it. It says what the Bible says, do not suffer your neighbor to sin, but rebuke him. That's what the Bible says.
Okay,
so this idea
now,
that
okay,
Christians
let me ask
just
you a question.
Be quiet and let evil happen is not true.
Let me ask you a question. You listening?
Yes, sir.
I pastor the church. I pastor for 15 years. If I got up every Sunday morning rebuking every member of the church, who would be sitting in there?
Wow.
Who would
the
sit in there?
The people who have ears to hear, just like the Lord said. Because remember when the Lord
answer the question. Who would come to church if you were rebuked every Sunday over your sin?
Those who have ears to hear. Someone who has the Holy Spirit will accept
you. No. Listen,
I just gave you the answer. Because
the reason why
you know, Jesus says a carnal man cannot accept the things of the Spirit. So if somebody has a carnal mind, they're not going to accept any spiritual teaching, no matter what
you say.
Now
you're getting my point. But here's what I'm getting at.
That's why, my answer was those who have ears to hear. So if someone who has ears to hear, they receive things of the Word and the Spirit. That's the answer.
But
you're the pastor. You should know that.
Bible says you got to be able not only to give a mixture of a strong rebuke, but you got to know how to blend it in with love.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Black?
In certain situations, I agree with that. Because the Paul says, some use compassion, but Paul also said with others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And the Apostle Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It's not one or the other. But they're circumcised, but they're inspired for a strong rebuke.
Hold on, Jeanette. Seeing you just hijacked our show. Can you tell us what the power of God means to you?
The power of God means to be set free from sin and have your mind transformed. To change your thinking, to go from a thinking that's against God's will to being in line with it. And that's why I pointed out the fact that before I was a Christian, I was a Democrat, and part of the Democrat idea is this whole rejection of personal responsibility and this idea of passing blame and blaming others for your own wrongdoing. One of the things the Spirit showed me was when I became a Christian, I had to take responsibility for my own mistakes and not point the finger and say, I'm in this because my mom did this, or someone did this, society did this. It's my own fault because God's going to hold me accountable for my actions.
I don't get in anything political myself. I'm trying to figure out how does someone get in their mind and thinking that the Democrats promote wrongdoing when it's Satan the devil who promotes wrongdoing. And that's what really gets me. When it comes to judgment, here's
answer,
the thing. Let me finish. I heard everything. It's not us. We can tell a person, sure, this is wrong. The Bible tells a person what's wrong. We don't join a political party to pass laws to keep that person from doing what is wrong. So, you
right.
know,
that's all
that's
we see
what
in
it
scripture.
Is.
If you read the Old Testament, God would send the prophets to the kings, to the priests, to the leaders of the nation, and to tell them
that they
needed to
repent. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with
the
Democratic or Republican Party, because in my opinion,
well, right,
and nobody would agree with me, politics is politics, and that's the worst thing ever, because it can make you seem like, to me, you've been watching too much Fox News. And that's what
I
they
don't
do.
Watch Fox
they make
News
you think.
All.
Well, the premises of what you're saying is totally along the same things, whether you watch it or not. And that
yes,
is
because I'm no longer.
They
want to
Fox News blames everybody, put the liberals for everything.
Right.
Everything is the way it is because of liberals. Listen, sir, everything is the way
no,
it is.
The
badly,
are
it's because of Satan, the devil.
Right now,
Satan
in the media,
is your adversary.
Yeah, but Satan can use people and use certain ways of thinking. The Bible says to cast out every
Listen, he can use you because you coming here blaming a political party.
When a political party is supporting child murder and homosexuality and transgenderism.
Please tell me,
which
Democratic member is supporting child murders?
Right.
It's called abortion. Unless you
sir,
don't think abortion's wrong.
I ask you, listen here. Like I told you, I don't get political. They're not promoting it, sir. God did not tell us to come and pass laws on people to stop them from doing what is wrong.
The Bible says
he's
God
the one that's
going to
carry out the
blood.
Judgment.
If you think God is okay with
that.
Child killing,
see, that's what he,
I don't know how you call yourself a Christian if you think God's okay with abortion.
Hold on for a minute. I'm done
that.
With the conversation because that right there was enough for me. Who in the world has said that God said it's okay with abortion? Who said that? See, that's that mindset, dude. I'm trying to tell you. That's that mindset that you got, that you done came into the accuser. Well, here's what that Satan has done to you. He has brought you over to the accuser side, and you don't even realize you're doing just what he does, accusing.
Right.
So you are promoting the things against Satan, but you're accusing just like he is.
That's right.
You don't already blame the whole Democratic.
You're also accusing John the Baptist when John the Baptist stood out and called out what the ills of what was going on around him and what the people
John,
were doing.
No,
is that
sir.
Him accusing?
John the Baptist called out ills that was going on in God, those who was following
in
God's laws.
In the country
laws.
That he lived in, just like the country
yeah,
we live in.
But he
That's
was Jewish and
do.
He was under the law. He was calling out those like Herod, who was also Jewish. He didn't go out and call out the wrongs to the Gentiles.
Right.
So
right.
I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying.
But here's what Satan is doing to you. Here's what the devil's doing to you. You have to be very careful. He's turning you into an accuser, and you don't even know it. So you're accusing the whole Democratic Party for promoting wrongdoing. And I tell you something, some of the best people I know who know the Bible is in the Democratic Party.
Everyone knows that the Democrats are promoting evil. That's obvious. Unless you don't think abortion and homosexuality is evil. That's the only way
no,
you
we
can
go
make that
on and on and on about this, sir. Satan the
so
devil promotes wrongdoing and
is
evil.
Is homosexuality and abortion okay? Yes or no? Or do you have? Or you don't
no,
have
no,
the
no,
courage
no.
to answer
well,
that question?
Well, sir, who promotes that? The Bible says we have a fight against wicked spirit forces in heavenly place. Sir, it said we have a fight against wicked spirit forces in heavenly places.
No,
sir, it
didn't say
we have a fight with people
wrong,
in the Democratic Party.
I didn't ask you that
so
question. I'm asking you,
is
homosexuality and abortion wrong, yes or no?
Okay.
Or are you going to...
The Bible says it is. Yes, sir, it says it is. But let me tell you something. You better go do a research, sir, because there's homosexuality in the Republican Party, too. You just don't know it. You just won't research it and see it.
Who's the one that fought to pass it? Who's the one that fought to pass gay marriage? Which president lit up the White House in rainbow colors when the Supreme Court passed gay marriage? Which president did that, sir?
Who cares who did that? Satan the devil is the father of all that stuff.
Now it doesn't matter. It's because you support Democrats. It's because you voted for Obama. That's why.
Well, sir, let me say, didn't I just tell you, sir, I don't get involved with politics?
And you don't want to admit it.
No, see, there
you
go.
There you go, sir.
You promoting. You an accuser. I told you I don't get involved with politics.
I'm calling it like it is. I'm not sugarcoating it. I'm telling you,
I don't vote,
you
sir.
Don't like
you are you
like
are
you
the chooser.
You just can't handle the truth.
Yeah, the truth is you can't handle it. You are an accuser. You have become
I have the courage of my conviction, and I'm not going to bow down to the secular world that's trying to tell Christians to be quiet about homosexuality.
And nobody told you to bow down to the secular
world,
sir. You watch, you watching too much TV. You gone way off the subject.
That's why you got homosexuals in churches. You got gay pastors. It's spreading all the cancer.
Jeanette, when it comes to that, you got to cut that mess off. That's some crazy stuff right there. That's some crazy stuff. That's that political, crazy, insane stuff. You coming on here accusing the whole Democratic Party of promoting this. See, that's what Satan, we have to be very careful. This is what Satan does. He turns us into accuser, and we don't even realize it.
Wow.
We've seen accusing people of all kind of stuff, and it ain't true. That's just like what happened to us. One black person does something, then they put it on TV, make it seem like all black people did it.
Mm-hmm. Can I say this?
And you know what? Yes.
And Tony. Tony.
Yeah.
Tony.
Yes.
Listen, I hear you.
That's when you know you are doing God's work, because He keeps sending Satan to interrupt us. He keeps letting. I'm serious. That's when you know what we're talking about is hitting the roof, is getting out. But guess what? Satan got something to say every week. He's trying to destroy what we're getting out. You got to know when you're being attacked by Satan. And Jeanette, you got to cut it off.
You know what? Because the thing is this, Blackwell, you know, you got to be teachable and you got to be coachable, but he wouldn't listen. And so when he started telling Tony who he voted for,
who you voting for, you won't admit it. Look, I straight out, I don't vote. I don't get involved with politics. You see, this is what we have to be careful of, even as Christians. He calls himself a Christian. Our fight is not against him, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party.
Right.
Our fight is Satan, the devil, who's doing all the abortions and our homosexual. He's using people. He's fighting against the wrong person.
Great. I mean, like I said, he on the wrong team and don't even know it.
My God. And he came in here accusing everybody of doing this and doing that. Don't even know me.
And watch this. What I love about it, he know the word. So you know.
Uh-huh.
Even the Satan know the word of God.
That's right.
And that's why I said, you can't play.
But you know what? The interesting part was he tried to take you guys to other scriptures, and you guys knew your stuff. And see, it's like we talked about the double-edged sword, and we have to be very mindful, because there's a lot of people like that. And I mean, who are we to judge? We're supposed to love people, and that's why I asked about his own children. And even when I wanted to ask him about it, when we're talking about basically just fellowshipping individuals, and what one of the things that I saw in Jehovah's Witnesses, and to me, Jehovah's Witnesses are very obedient, they're very loving, very kind, but they are zero tolerance. But by that same token, we can't blame and point the finger at any individual. But like you said, it's knowing your word and how powerful that word is. Because like you said, he knew the scriptures, but he was taking it and putting it
right,
in politics.
Right. My whole premises on that whole thing was we all have to be careful that all of a sudden, here's what they done to those people. They make his man come on here and accuse us of supporting abortion. And supporting homosexuality. Mm-hmm. How can I live by the word of God and support that? But at the same time, I don't really nowhere in that Bible where that Bible told me to go out there and force laws on people to tell them not to do it. What are we going to do? Use the system to force people to do what is right by God's will? But then how's it going to be? Then what does he say? They're wicked people.
We don't use the government to force laws, God's laws on people. Our deal is to teach, to preach the word of God so they can understand and see where God coming from. If we force laws on them, then what are we doing? We have to be very careful accusing people.
He
done became the accuser.
You know, I said
we have to be very cute.
He's a modern day. He's a modern day Paul, Saul. What I say, he's a modern day
that's
Saul.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
And he don't even know it. And he don't know it. But on the other side of the coin, I pray for him because
he knows
his book. But on the other side of the coin, he's using God's word the wrong way.
That's right. Listen, folks, let me say this. There's a reason why God set up the congregations. We are separate from the world. That's the way we're supposed to be. Set up the congregation so we can dwell on the word of God in friendship and togetherness and meet one another who believe on the same thing. In the Christian congregation, we don't promote abortion. We don't promote homosexuality. Matter of fact, we detest everything that God has said that is wrong. But when we have to be very careful coming outside that Christian congregation and trying to force the laws of God on the world through a political party system. Let God do his job and let him judge outside. It says it. It says while God judged those outside the world, it told Paul to judge those inside the congregation
inside the world, if they do
what is wrong. I'm not going to go on out there and try to force no laws from abortion. I don't know what got them people into that. That God did not tell us to do that. If a person is having an abortion, they will have to answer to God.
Now let's talk about something. Back in the day, the Bible told us way back, they asked, let's go back and look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Did they have a Democratic Party?
Yeah, the floor one.
Come on, talk to me, man. Sodom and
Gomorrah.
Say that again. Did they have a Democratic Party back in Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels had to go down there and wipe them out? Because there was only one righteous man in the whole city, but Abraham was on the other side of town praying that the city wouldn't be destroyed. Man, get out of here. You got to look. Satan knows how to use people.
He sure
does. Like who don't act like us, who's articulate, who's smart and crafty, and he knows how to use any way to vote to make the body, now watch what I'm going to say, look bad. That little thing right there was to make the body look bad. But guess what?
But y'all
you don't know. Yeah, I know. I know one thing. I know you crazy. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He might still be listening. And I forgot I was on the radio because I was going to say something. I know one thing. See, people like that need prayer. That lets me know that we need to keep praying in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We need prayer. Honestly, we can't play with that. We need to pray for him because he don't understand the power of God.
Yeah, that's right. There it is.
But
see, the power of God keeps us from trying to force law. Let that person turn around and repent. What I'm saying is God wants people to repent to him, not to repent to us.
Thank you.
We can't go forcing people not to do abortions so we can make ourselves feel good. They have to come to their own understanding and realize what they're doing is against God. That's why this radio program is good, so they can read to see what God wants. There's nothing you can do for people if they're not going to accept God. They're going to have all the abortions they want to. Ain't no law you can do to stop them from doing that. When they read the Bible and understand the love of God and what God requires, then they will stop abortion. Then they will stop homosexuality. But I can go out there and pass laws all I want to. That's not going to stop the wicked from doing wicked things. So, anyway, I'm up here in Harbor Freight Store preaching and talking with you wonderful people. And I'm going to go ahead and let y'all two finish it out. And I appreciate you guys letting me talk on your show. And Delano, as usual, brother, is always a pleasure.
Always, Tony. Good looking out, man. Appreciate you.
All right.
Okay. I thank both of you. Breathe, you guys, breathe. Okay, Delano, we went over our time, but end the show out so I can get to work. You guys can do the show, and I want to thank you, but Delano, let's end the show. What you want the listeners to know, to get out of this, so we can be ready for
Remember, we wrestle not, just like Brother Tony said to us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, wickedness, high places. We have to remember, Satan comes in all forms of walk and life to try to attack us, to sidetrack us, to keep us from doing his will, from knowing his ways, and from knowing his word. Today was a great example of the attack of Satan.
Keep you listening
from not hearing what was really planned for you today. That lets you know that we do have a God who has all power. And he lets Satan come by the breath.
Yeah.
So I want to say to you today, remember, we have power in God.
That's
Thank
right.
God bless you.
Yeah, it is. Spend just a little bit on that. That's what he said. The power of God is the power of God that transforms lives, not us going and joining a political party to pass laws on people to transform their lives. Let God's Spirit do his job, and then we keep ourselves free from being used by Satan, which we think we're doing something good for God, but in return, we're being used by the accuser, by running around accusing people of doing wrong, and we have no proof of it.
Okay.
This is a powerful show. I'm glad I didn't miss this one. I'm all walking through the show, fired up right now, boy. These people wonder if I'm crazy up in here.
I know I was fired up, but let me say this. And I want to make sure people understand this. It was not the Democrats who was behind all the gay and lesbian movement. It first started in Sacramento in California, where they tried to press the government to change their ways and pass laws, put riders. They wouldn't face their law. They would put riders up where they were trying to make it where it was impossible for the preacher to preach against homosexuality. And if he did, he went to jail. That they would come in and preach, and they would point him out, and he'd go to jail. He couldn't talk about it. They're still trying to pass that law.
Yeah.
But you know what?
My thing,
it's the power of God that's keeping it away from us. Pretty soon, yes, they're going to try to make us marry two men. They're going to try. But guess what? You can always say no, but they're going to try to force every creature to marry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, see, I take it right back to the source. If it started in God, in Sodom and Gomorrah, then that tells us there were some wicked spirit creatures. See, the demons goes both ways. They'll lay down with a man and a woman. And they started that stuff. They get into certain ones' bodies. If we don't stay on the word of God, the demons will use us. And those people are being used by the serpent and the demons. And it's the word and the power of God is what's going to flush that out, not the Republican Party. They ain't done nothing. Stop Satan, the spread of the of Satan, the devil, and his. That's the problem. It's the wicked spirit forces. That's the problem. We got to be careful that Satan, the devil, don't use us to go and start labeling people Democrat or Republican and hating people. But if Satan is the main one behind it, that's how good he is. He'll have us killing one another, but he's the one that's starting it. And so that's how I look at it. I know where the problem starts at, and I know very soon the king is coming to bound him. And I'm not going to hate a fellow man because they are homosexual. The first thing I do is, have you read God's word, the Bible? Whether if they accept it or not, I do what Jesus did. Shake the dust from your sandal and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people don't understand. It's not our job. It's not our job to judge them. It's our job to give them the word.
You give them the word,
and the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest.
There it is, right there.
And you know what, Delano? And the thing is, even from a therapeutic perspective, because I get phone calls all the time. I had a woman call me the other day and wanted me to work with her 10-year-old child who was dealing with gender dysmorphia, which is a gender dysmorphia. And so I'm getting calls from parents with kids, and they're trying to do sex changes. And I'm like, you know, I don't discriminate against individuals, but I'm not going to talk and deal with a kid who shouldn't even be focused on gender identity and sexuality issues at such a young age. I'm not going to feed into that, but I'm not going to judge them because sometimes it's the adults that's doing that too. So, I mean, it is a big, big issue, and all we can do is try to educate. Like I said, I was hoping that the listener was going to be teachable and coachable, but by that same token, he also didn't want to listen because he was already set in his ways. And if he wants to blame it on the Republicans and the Democrats, it's really sad because a lot of that stuff
it is
happening
sad.
In people's homes, in people's marriages, you know. And if people don't know what to do, but we do need to stop blaming. Get on our knees, get on and start praying. And grow human beings.
If I can say this, I heard a little prejudice in there. It was Obama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obama did.
Can you believe that?
All
that's what Fox News
Obama.
Promoted.
All
and, you know,
Obama did.
I was trying to listen to his voice, and he sounds like he was African American.
He did.
Like it.
That's sad.
Well,
that's real
so
sad that they done got our brothers and sisters thinking on that stuff. I said this was Satan the devil do. That's exactly what he does. It says in Revelation 12, I said, woe to the earth and the sea because the devil has come down to you with great anger. His whole purpose is to make sure that I hate Delano and Delano hates me, but he's the one that's starting the fight.
Right. And the fight was over nothing. Over nothing.
He does.
Okay.
Just really.
All right,
really. All right.
All right. Well, I appreciate both of you, and you guys have a blessed day, and I will chit-chat with you later. And until next week, Delano, I'm not going to even touch that topic I had said before, which was powerless Christian. I'm going to let you and Tony come up with a topic because that right there, I'm going to stay out of it. I'll just come in every now and then because, you know, Delano, I ain't scared of nothing I can see. So until next week, remember, you've got this, and thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
All right.
Bye-bye.